Congregation, please turn to your Bibles with me as we will read from the book of Psalms, Psalm 127 and 128. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. Hear God's holy, inspired word. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And then I invite you to go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, about 10, 15 pages past the book of Psalms. And as we will turn to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6 will be our text and the basis of this message. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So far then, God's holy word and also our text. Congregation of the Lord, when I heard that Johan and Samantha are new parents, young parents, and that this is their first child, I decided that rather than go into the details of baptism, and it is well worth doing that, obviously, and I believe I did something of that the last time I was here for a baptism service, and I have said a little bit about baptism already prior to, especially addressing the parents, but rather than getting into the details of holy baptism this time, I thought it may be prudent to speak about what the Word of God says in respect to parents. And so let us then hear a word of God to parents. First of all, it is a blessing to be parents. And secondly, it takes talents to be parents. And then thirdly, there is grace available for parents. Now, congregation, as I've stated already, it is a blessing to be parents. This is why we have read from the Psalms, particularly Psalm 127 and 128. And Psalm 127 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. In other words, children are a visual proof that the Lord wants to continue his covenant promises to us, and that from generation to generation. And this is the reason, of course, why God has given us children. Children are rewards. They are gifts of the Lord to us, to you and to me. Now, this is not quite how the world thinks about children. We know that, don't we? One of the dilemmas which the world faces today is the cry of unwanted, abused, and unloved children. And then the world has only one answer, and it's a brutal answer, it's a terrible answer, abort them. But now consider children as a heritage of the Lord and a reward, a gift of God. Well, now even church people are beginning to have trouble with that particular line. Sure, ask a childless couple in church what they think about children, and you'll get to hear it from them undoubtedly. Yes, children would be a great blessing, but the Lord has sadly withheld those blessings from them. Sure, ask a young married couple whose arms are just aching to rock a little one in their arms. And you will hear it from them, and that with a touch of longing in their voices, no doubt. Ah, yes, our children would be a blessing for us. But now ask the average church couple who has received proof that the Lord has blessed them with children, that they will not be childless, if they can still convincingly sing along with Psalm 127, "Lo, children are a great reward, a gift from God in very truth. With arrows is his quiver stored, who joys in children of his youth." The world, I must say, has very often sown a few sour notes in that beautiful tune, even amongst church people, sad to say. Because also in Christian circles, there are a growing number of couples who prefer to go childless for a while, so that their careers will not get messed up, so that the house or the farm or the car is paid off first. Children, they will say, oh yes, children, they are a blessing, but thank you, we'll receive them when we are ready. Now when you say that, or when you think that, have you ever thought that the Lord might not be willing and that to give you any of those blessings afterwards? Because you were not ready at the very beginning, or you were unwilling at the very beginning? Now I leave that for your thoughts and for your prayers and for your serious considerations. Each couple must act responsibly in receiving and in waiting. But let that always be done very prayerfully. And never, and I underline it, never put off children for selfish reasons, because you are giving way then to the influences of the world around us, which denies that children are a heritage, that children are a blessing from the Lord and a gift from God. We must never lose sight, dear people, that children are a heritage, that children are a blessing, that children are a gift from God, even if we cannot have any more or have any of them. We must never lose sight of the fact that it is a blessing to be parents. Now, that takes me already to my second point, because then I must speak, it takes talents to be parents. And this brings us closer then, of course, to our text as well, as we have read already from Proverbs 22 and verse 6, where it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." And I dare say that it takes talent to train up children, and plenty of talent at that. Young people, it's good to see you here. And may you always be faithful in attending churches. And I want to say something to you particularly at this moment. Young people, you who someday hope to be parents, let me tell you, it takes talents to be parents. It takes talents to be good parents. And remember this. This is why, boys and girls, young people, it is necessary for you presently to do well in school, that you get a good, broad education, that you get a Christian education. And most of you, if I'm not mistaken, do receive that. Praise God for it. That goes for the young man, but I dare say that goes even more for the young woman. Even if you have no inclination whatsoever for a career in the outside world, but you plan to get married and hope someday also to raise children, you need a good, wholesome Christian education. Why? Because becoming a parent, and then especially, and I want to say a bit more about that, and especially a mother, requires a multitude of talents which is cultivated through good education and through the studies of God's holy and precious word. And so let me say something first, and especially about mothers in particular. Being a mother is as much a career, if not more of a career, than an out-in-the-world kind of career. It is certainly more demanding and certainly more talent-requiring career to be a mother. Someone once said that a mother has to be a doctor, a nurse, a psychologist, a teacher, a minister, a cook, a policeman, and a fashion coordinator all at the same time. Now, I dare say that takes talent. That takes talent. And mothers, let no one ever tell you that this is not a career. This is. You know full well that this is a full-time career, sometimes 23 hours a day. A mother's talents, you see, a mother's talents are employed already at a very early age. Even before a child is born. Such a mother knows that she must take good care of her health because she knows that it will affect her child. She must take good care of her spiritual life because she knows that her disposition and her character and her moods and her habits will affect the child whom she is carrying, for the good or for the bad. A mother's love, a mother's devotion to the Lord and her prayer life is actually crucial for the child she's carrying. She's a priestess, so to speak, for that little bundle of life that she is carrying, always commending it to the care of the Lord, that her child may develop well, that it may from early moments on already fear and love the Lord. And that's possible. God can do powerful, wonderful things. Mothers, I would say, mothers are the closest between the unborn child and the Lord. Mothers, expecting mothers, and you who hope to be expecting mothers someday, what opportunities you have to do well for your child. What talents you may already employ even before your child is born. Take Hannah from the Old Testament, for instance, as your example. She was mighty in prayer even before her child was born. Mighty in prayer. Take Elizabeth from the New Testament as your example. How she communicated about her child to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. God-fearing mothering began long before the child was born. It requires God-given talents, therefore, to be parents. And so our text tells us, quite rightly so, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, this word train up can also be translated as catechize, meaning to ask questions and draw out answers. Or, and it also, this is included in the meaning, it means to instruct by word, but instruct also by example. Literally, it means teaching by repeating after me. Teaching by repeating after me. And parents, this requires all of your God-given talents. To train up your children with just one goal in mind. That your child will come to know and to serve the Lord God. Now there's something else yet in this whole matter of training up. The Jews in the Old Testament times used this word also to mean to dedicate. And this is what Solomon, for instance, did with the temple that was built. Beautiful temple in Jerusalem. He dedicated it to the Lord. He trained it up for the Lord. Now you see, this is also part of the work of parents. It is a dedicating work, training up children. Your goal should be that your children should come to fear and to serve the Lord. That should be your goal, to fear and to serve the Lord. This is why Hannah could bring her child, Samuel, to the Lord. She dedicated him to the Lord. And one day she returned him to the Lord and to his service so that he could be in active service of the Lord all the days of his life. And parents, I ask you, is this already how you have understood your role as a process in dedicating your child to the Lord? From an early age, yes, even before birth, prayer for your child, and then gradually praying with your child, and then speaking with your child about the things of the Lord. That is part of parenting, dedicating your child to the Lord. Now, mothers have, by their very nature, they have such wonderful talents for that. When the child is still very young, to speak of the things of the Lord in a very simple and tender and loving way. And that, of course, when they are in the most impressionable times. And mothers, I plead with you, do not let those precious moments escape from you. They'll fly past fast enough, and those impressionable moments will never return for your child. Later on in life, no doubt you wish that some of those impressionable moments would return again, so that you could just sit down and say, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And then fathers, of course, fathers are important as well. You too come into the picture, particularly as a child grows up. You could say, therefore, that you fathers are the help meet to your wife in the dedicating work of a child, of your child. And so fathers, I ask you, do you speak to your children? Do you communicate with your children that from an early age on, right into their teenage years and beyond that? Do you communicate with them about the things of life, but also about the things of the Lord God? Fathers, parents, always speak positively about these things. Do not let your children hear your criticism of the Lord's ways, your criticism of the Lord's service, or your criticism of the Lord's servants. You see, kids have a natural habit to close their minds when you're lecturing them about this or that. But they have their ears and they have their minds wide open when they hear you criticize the Lord and His service. And before long, they will join you and they will even surpass you in criticism. Many children, you see, many young people have left church because parents, and especially fathers, and I speak from what I have observed in the congregations over the years, especially fathers who have not spoken positively about the Lord and His service, that their children left. It's a hard word to say, isn't it? Painfully, perhaps. Yes. But many young people have turned away from church because they have been trained up by a father who was quick to criticize what happens in the church. Such young people know nothing else but church business. Well, it cannot be trusted, and that many in the church are nothing else but hypocrites. Fathers, I plead with you, fathers, may I urge you, and that for the sake of not losing your children to the world, to speak to your children about the Lord and His service in a positive way. And then start also at an early age. And I say that in the sense of them Let your wife teach you how to speak tenderly. Because we can sometimes be so rough, can't we, as menfolk. But let your wife teach you how to speak tenderly to the little ones. Let the mother show you how to speak simply to your children. But always, always speak positively, never critically, about the things of the Lord and His service. Train up, so our text says, train up your children to respect and honor the Lord and His service. And again I say, that takes talents. Because sometimes you may have good reasons to be critical of what happens in the church. But dear people, such criticism is no training up material for your children. And remember this as well. Children generally learn more from seeing than they do from hearing. Children by nature, you see, they generally observe and learn rather than listen and learn. Children most often will easily imitate what you do rather than obey what you tell them to do. And therefore, parents, this will take all your God-given talents. I know that for myself too. It will take all of your God-given talents to speak for God and to live for God as examples to your children. And I'm including grandparents, and we have a number of generations here, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I urge you to be good examples to your children. Show them what it means to worship and to serve the Lord and who the Lord has been for you over the years. Conduct yourselves uprightly and honestly, forgivingly and patiently as well. Because your children, your grandchildren are watching you far more than what you think. Training up your children, mostly by example. Well, now someone may ask here, well, what about discipline? Well, I can't say much about that, because each child is different. And no, I'm not skirting around the issue. But each child is different, which takes parental wisdom to see what kind of discipline your child needs. Some need a stern look to melt them into submission. Others actually kick the hand that spanks them and harden under such discipline. It takes wisdom to see what each child needs. And in the family, each child is different. But parents, and this I believe is very important as well, agree with each other as husband and wife. Agree with each other how you are going to discipline this, that, and the other child. Agree with each other. No matter what kind of discipline you would use for your children, it will fail miserably if father opposes this kind of discipline while mother is doing it, or the other way around. It will fail miserably if you fail to agree on what discipline should be used. Be together, therefore, in the manner of your discipline. Then, also this, be consistent. Don't threaten and then not carry out those threats. When it comes time to discipline, never do so in anger. You'll hurt your child and you'll hurt yourself as well. Discipline, yes, it is necessary at times. The Lord God, after all, disciplines us as well, even as His children. And when it is necessary to tell your child that you are disciplining them, tell them that you're doing it in love for them and that you're not doing it in anger. And again, that takes wisdom, doesn't it? Let the Lord God Himself then be the great example to you. He chastises, but not according to our sins, because He is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. He is slow to anger. He is plentiful in mercy. You can read all of that in Psalm 103 and more. And therefore, parents, show your children great willingness to forgive as well when they go wrong. And then I might add, that you may have to ask your children to forgive you when you went wrong. And you will see how great that will strengthen the bond between you and your children. Because in that way, your actions will be, as it were, a sermon of the Lord in how He forgives us, the guilty ones. Now, there's something else yet that must be said about our text. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, we know which way a child should go. Towards the Lord, dedicated to the Lord, as you've heard already. But that does not mean that every child becomes, like Hannah's child, a prophet of the Lord. Not every child needs to become a minister of the gospel or an office bearer or a missionary or a mission worker. Therefore, do not try to put your child into a mold that you would like, but in which the child does not fit. It will take spiritual wisdom, you see, to discover the suitability of your child for his or her life. And this is why our text says, train up a child in the way he should go. That is, in the way God has made your child capable to go. And this means, therefore, that if your son or your daughter has great desires and suitability to become a nurse or a teacher, for instance, be thankful for that. And don't force her or him into a different mold. But now, as we think about the wisdom which is needed to be good parents, God-fearing parents, is it not surprising when the thought rises up in us, am I even a suitable parent? Have you ever thought that, parents? Am I really a suitable parent? What kind of parent have I been? What have I done with my children as well? Some of us thought we did our best, yet our child has turned away from the Lord and has gone away from church. What answer can I give you at this moment? You who have lost a son or a daughter, one or more of your children to the world. Well, we cannot turn back the pages of time. Some of your children may be beyond the reach of your word, but they are not beyond the reach of the Lord God yet, you see. But the Lord is waiting to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from you. And so let me, in the third place, speak that there is grace available for parents. There is grace available for hurt and sorrowing parents, for fearful and for overwhelmed parents. You see, the Lord does not leave us to fend for ourselves in how we are to train up our children. After all, children are a heritage of the Lord, so we are told. They are His gifts, after all. And that for no other reason than His covenant promises would come under the magnifying glass. Boys and girls, you know what happens when you put something under a magnifying glass. You see it much better. Well, when we look at our children, we should look at our children as if they are magnifying glasses of the Lord's promises that are there underneath them. And then you'll see some great things. And therefore, the Lord also leaves us with covenant promises. Great covenant promises, in fact. And our text also brings that to the forefront. It is an example of it. Train up a child in the way he should go. And here it is. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents, this is a covenant promise which the Lord wants us to become busy with. The Lord, even more yet than you and I, want to see these promises continued in the life of our children and our grandchildren. There is grace available for parents, you see. And it is available through our marvelous Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we have heard of this morning as our Redeemer. There's a grace available in plentitude. The Lord wants to be asked for grace. We should not think that it should just come to us automatically because we go to church regularly. No, He wants to be asked for it. He wants to be called upon. He wants to be begged. He wants to be pleaded so that the grace of His promises will become real in our life. Why does He want that? Because He wants communication with us. That is how the two, God and you, come closer together. Communication. Therefore, God has given us those promises. He says, bring those promises back to me. Let's talk about them. You see, it is a saving Lord Jesus Christ who knows what parents need and what parents require. His salvation, after all, is such great salvation that even faltering parents can find their hope, can find their trust, can find their consolation, can find their comfort in Him and in Him alone. Now, dear parents, your opportunities might be past. And you see nothing but impossibilities for you and for your child or children in the future. But your impossibilities become great opportunities for the Lord our God, the Savior, who is the one who has gone to seek and to save the lost. And He has not stated that for nothing. Therefore, let your lives be an open book to your children. Even to the ones that have left the church, don't break the bond of parent to childhood. I've heard some parents say, you don't go to church, out the door. Don't break that bond. Don't break that bond. Because even when you cannot speak to them anymore, your actions tell volumes. Let your lives, therefore, become a book to your children, even to the ones who have left the church. You might not be able to say many words to them anymore, but you'll have opportunity to show in your life that it's good to serve a living Savior. It's good. It's good. Let all your children read that on you, so to speak, that you love the Lord. And that you know that the love of the Lord is in you and with you. And that you want to serve Him with words, more yet with deeds. And one of the things is that words or examples may then still be used as it pleases a promising God to bless you and your children. And finally, I want to direct your attention to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again, who at one time said, let the children come to me and forbid them not. Let us not forbid them through criticism. Let us not forbid them by neglecting them, by not speaking about them. Let us not forbid them in doing things that are not pleasing in the sight of God. But let the children come to the Lord Jesus Christ through your life, through your example, through your prayers, and He will do yet great things. Amen. Return now to your homes and receive the blessings of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.